The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds in the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thinking about the parables for me is always tricky ground. I'm not much of a golfer, but sometimes you're watching, say, the U.S. Open, and these guys are the absolute best golfers in the world. And you see one of them chip it, and it hits the green and runs off on the other side. And then they chip it back, and they end up back where they started from. Or they're staring at a 3-foot putt, and they leave it a foot outside of the hole. And you wonder, how could they have misread that? That's the type of thing a complete hack like me would does on the course. Not those guys. Yes, it's the U.S. Open, so the course is tuned a lot harder. But somehow, the best in the world can be fooled. Parables are tricky. They're U.S. Open green. They aren't those earthly stories with the heavenly meaning that you tell Sunday school kids. Jesus says they are so that people don't understand. But he tells the disciples, "To you, I'll give the meanings." But in the Gospels, there's only two or three that are explained fully. The rest are left to you and to me and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to focus mainly on that first parable today. Although, given that they're told as something of a cluster, I think they're supposed to help each other. The parable of the mystery of the seed growing. That's what I call it. It's only found in Mark's Gospel. They're told right after the more familiar seed and soils parable, which is one of the two or three that are explained. But it's not immediately after. Instead, it's immediately after a parable that inspires this little light of mine. And I rehearse this as walking the green to get a glimpse of the slope of everything in advance. The first tricky read of that green is thinking about who the sower is. The straight smash it putt read of any sower or any owner or any main character in the parable is that they are Jesus or generically God. But if that was the case here, you'd have to say that God doesn't know what he's doing. It sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. That's the mystery. The making of a mystery might be from God, but not cluelessness about it. God knows what he's doing. We tend not to. So, if the sower of the soils parable is God, this sower has to be understood as somebody else. It's not a parable of the reception of the seed, the reception of the word, but it's a parable of its growth. It's a parable given to the church about the Great Commission to make disciples, baptizing and teaching. And most importantly, it's a parable about that messy, mysterious muddle in the middle. Because there are three givens, three things that will absolutely happen in the parable. The seed will be planted. Something will grow. And there will be a harvest. And the first and last of those are known with absolute certainty. A man will go out and scatter seed. This is the mission of the church. More on that in a minute. But the seed that we sow is literally Christ. Without the victory of Jesus, the church would have nothing to proclaim. She would have no seed. But Christ has been victorious. Satan no longer has the power to charge you. Your sins have been forgiven. In Christ, eternal life is yours. That's the church's message. That's the lamp that is to be put on a lampstand and not under the bushel. The church doesn't hide that message under anything. In the light of Christ, everything is made manifest. Anything that is secret is made known. Sin is brought into the light to be forgiven. Shame that would have us hide from God is brought out and reconciled by the God who endured the shame of the cross. The word of God will be proclaimed until the end of this age. And if we won't proclaim it, the stones would cry out. And there's always enough seed. The love of God in Christ is inexhaustible. And when that word of God goes out, it does not return empty. It accomplishes what it was sent for. There will be a harvest. When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle. Because the harvest has come. Right now our sins are forgiven. Not yet have we received that resurrection body. Right now, the entire creation groans, waiting for the revelation of the saints. But those saints are already known to God, and not a single one of them will be lost. Just as sure as the planting is the reaping. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's secured our beginning when before all time he chose you. And he secured our eternal home as the firstborn of the dead. He's defeated sin and Satan and death. We shall all be reclothed. The mortal, swallowed up with immortality. The beginning and the end are fixed. You are God's from before time, and you are his in eternity. But that leaves us where we are now. in this messy, muddy, mysterious middle. We make plans, and they seem to unwind. We try living into our baptism, and yet the sin always seems so close. We raise children in the faith, and they might wander. We pour our hearts and minds into the Great Commission, and the church stays the same size or might even shrink. We invest in this program, and it does nothing, but this odd thing that we tried to kill multiple times just keeps growing. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. So do we just do nothing? The earth produces by itself. Something will grow. It doesn't need us. Two thoughts. The first is that this is pure gospel. It doesn't depend upon us. The seed will be planted. Something will grow. There will be a harvest. Christ has assured all of this. We can't eternally, not in a way that can't be redeemed, mess it up. The earth produces by itself. Think of it this way. Satan, our great enemy, has dedicated all of his power and all of his millennia of existence to stopping all of this. And he could do nothing. If the greatest being in all of creation could do nothing, do you think we're able to foil the will of God? We may not be able to understand. He knows not how. But the will of God will certainly be done. What God has done is given us the ability to be a part of his will. In Christ, we are made a new creation. In Christ, what we do in Christ will last. We may not see it now, but when the grain is ripe, we shall see it. And that's the start of my second thought here. We sleep and rise night and day. That sounds like fruitful work to me. I think the second parable that this one is paired with gives us a glimpse of what that might look like. The biggest part of that fruitful work is simply sowing seed. And that seed isn't some grand thing. The work of the kingdom is not the power and the glory. It's the mustard seed. It's this small, pungent thing that you can't kill. It's the whisper of our victory. It's the promise that everything will work out for the good of those who love him. It's the knowledge that he is with us all the way. It's the still, small voice. It's the faith of our fathers, the hope of our mothers. It's the love of God that's made real at exactly the moment that we need it. It starts small. It starts with one person and one word. And those people sleep and rise, night and day, stumbling through all of the mud and mystery of this life in the middle. We pray, we plan, we perform, we walk those good works planned out in advance. We attempt to follow the Spirit. We fall and get back up. We have to return to that first door, repentance. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We cry and laugh and wonder and rage. In other words, we see the seed sprout and grow and fill in. And we have no idea how. No idea other than that is, it is God's good plan. Maybe we live in a middle that puts up cathedrals. Maybe we live in a middle where it's a time to scatter stones. But the promise is that through all of this mysterious middle, when it grows, all the birds of the air can make their nests. The Spirit blows when and where He wills. The will of God certainly will happen without our prayer. If we don't wish to take part in this work of the church, this spreading of seed, that's not going to stop the work. What we will miss is God's will happening with us. What we will miss is witnessing the mystery of how the earth produces, of how a mustard seed gives shade to all. You want to see the mystery. Keep sleeping and rising by faith, night and day. Witness the mystery. Amen.